there are a number of books about how people manage their own careers and the way they balance work and life. Where did you see an opening in that market for your book?
Right. Well, my background is really in the area of human resource management. I've been the director of the Center for HR Strategy for 9 years. I've been a professor of human resource management for 15. And about a year and a half ago, when friends and family started losing their jobs, I realized there was an element that I knew about what was coming in terms of the labor market that I wanted to share. So the book is really, in part, an understanding of what the new employment reality is. And then, you know, 90% of the book is really, and now what do we do with it in order to have a better career?
What is the new labor reality, especially from the management perspective, the people who are maybe in a position where they're going to be where they are for a while, but managing a workforce that might be a lot more transient than it used to be?
Right. And that's actually, that's the big difference, is that issue of being transient. What we're seeing is that, in general, people want more meaning, more fulfillment out of their careers. That's sort of the backdrop. But at the same time, what we're seeing is there's far less security, and people are feeling a little bit out of control. So the statistics around dissatisfaction and frustration with careers is very high. At the same time, companies are really pulling back, as we can tell by the unemployment rate. They're pulling back on hiring full-time workers, and we're seeing a much heavier use of contingent workers, part-time workers, independent contractors, and the like. So what we're seeing is that we do need kind of to take greater control of our own careers and really manage our income streams in a far more active way than we've ever had to do before.
Now, you used income streams in the plural sense there, and I'm wondering if you're using it in a broad more than one person sense, or in the idea that maybe even people who have had long successful careers maybe should be thinking about multiple ways to be bringing money into the house.
That's the punchline. It's the latter. I believe that people should have multiple sources of income, especially now. Unless you're working for an organization that you absolutely love, you're enjoying your job, and you're in a critical role for that organization, if that's the case, you're probably in a pretty secure position. If you're 90% of everyone else, there's a greater emphasis now on needing multiple streams of income. My preference, though, would be that we have multiple streams of income doing the things that we love to do, mm-hmm. leveraging our talents and the like.
What's the biggest mistake that you think people make when it comes to trying to figure out exactly what it is that they want to do?
A lack of awareness for what the nature of their talents and what they can leverage, their skill set, what they offer. A lot of people become really very, very passive when they go to work for an organization in terms of their career management. So rather than thinking about their skill set and how they can configure it for an income stream, they tend to sort of wait for their organization to recognize their skills and then promote them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to actually put more of the power back into individuals to really control their career.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about controlling careers, and think about somebody who's maybe been with an organization, not necessarily in the same job, but with an organization 15, 20 years, and all of a sudden finding out that there are a number of options. This happens to a lot of people who are executives in the federal government, and they find out maybe there's an opportunity at another agency, or maybe to go into the private sector and work for a company that works with the government and would utilize their experience. It's hard a lot of times to make that change, just like it's hard to make any kind of change.
Right.
How do you weigh out the pluses and minuses of potential opportunities?
Sure. I think it's reframing in part what we know to be secure. So what you've just described, the idea that somebody's working for an organization that's stable and that has alternate opportunities, but almost is a little bit nervous to make that leap.
Mm-hmm.
The idea, because the mentality has always been that where you are is more stable than where you're going. Where you are from that traditional 9-to-5 job is more stable than the income streams you can create for yourself. So I think the first hurdle, if you will, is to get over the idea that where you are is the most stable place you could be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the issue is, how do you want to maximize your career? Is that other opportunity really something that will move you closer to a direction that you're interested in, going into the private sector, for example? Is that new opportunity with a different agency maybe going to help expand your skill set in a direction that you're interested in. All of those are the kinds of those are the kind of decisions that you need to consider. But the first thing you need to do is realize that decision and the ability to bring in an additional income stream or move in a way that you're going to gain greater skills, that will really be the more stable option as opposed to staying where you are.
Let's step back maybe even one step from that position and see about a person who's in that same position, but they're trying to even decide, maybe reached a point where you say, okay, I've been doing this for a long time, but I don't really have a career plan. I just happened on to where I am. That strikes me that's where most people are. They don't really have a particular career plan, right?
Right, and that goes back to that lack of self-awareness and as you said, lack of a plan. So where do you want to be? Where do you want to go? And for some people, it's not necessarily occupational, but it's more of how do you like to work? Some people love working in teams. Some people love working where there's physical movement in their day. Some people love the creative process. Other people like routine. They like number crunching. Just the minimal understanding of how do you like to work, or what are your skill sets. Those are really good places to start that not a lot of people are doing right now.
Do you find that most people that you talk to are as self-aware as they should be? And if they're not, where do you start to get an idea of what I really am into and care about?
Right. I believe that most people lack awareness about what they are and how they like to work and what are their skills, what are their talents. What's very interesting, though, people can say very easily what they don't like to do. So I've been in a job, I don't like A, B, and C about this job, but then push it a little further, but I do like these other aspects. Usually when we can get into those conversations, and that's really why I wrote the book, was so people can essentially have the conversation with themselves, really get people thinking about what have been your patterns, either through school, through your early career, later career, mid-career, wherever you are. What are the patterns of the things that you seem to be excelling at? What do people compliment you on? What do you enjoy doing? And then try to configure that in a way that will kind of move you closer to an ideal, either an ideal occupation, an ideal career, or just a better way of working.
Your bio says you're a work psychologist, and I'm happy to say that this book is not written like a psychology book. It is written in that conversational style, I think, that sparks that kind of internal conversation. So I commend you on that, because there are a bunch of these books that are just, I mean, it's difficult to drill through some of this stuff sometimes.
Oh, thank you. One
of the things that you talk about in this book is the idea of escaping what you call outdated psychological contracts that let others control your destiny. I don't think anybody likes the idea of somebody else controlling their destiny, and yet you lay out a description in the book of how it happens. Talk a little bit about that and then trying to shake it.
Sure. If you consider the real traditional trajectory, someone goes to school, graduates, starts that first job, and then what happens, right? Usually they have student loan debt. They maybe, buy a car, have a little more debt. Rent an apartment, have a little more debt. It starts to add up, and then they're in that job. Then they're working really hard because now they absolutely need to keep that job. What ends up happening? Now they're working toward a promotion. They may not necessarily want the promotion, but now they need the promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that cycle perpetuates until either they decide, I really do want another opportunity, or they're laid off or fired, whatever. So that actually, it's a passive process in that kind of older mentality. What I'm encouraging folks to do is say, okay, great, so you're in a job, but almost plan through what skill set you want to pull out of the job. What network do you want to pull out of the job that you're currently in? Continually reinvest in yourself in terms of the time you're spending on that job, investing in your skill set. If you like the organization, you really want to do well in the organization, actively move yourself closer to the strategic core of the organization. If it's not an organization you see yourself staying with for a long time, then really start thinking, even while you're in that job, start thinking about kind of the next opportunity or how you want to leverage your skills in a different way. Too many people wait until they need to think about another job in order to start thinking about another job. And I'm trying to break that. I'd like people to kind of be actively managing this process essentially always.
Yeah. There are a lot of folks, I imagine, that will hear this conversation and say, yeah, well, that's great if I was 20 years younger than I am now. I get a sense from reading this book that you don't think it's ever too late to start this process and find something, maybe even within the boundaries of what you're doing now, just doing it in a different way,
right,
that results in satisfaction.
Right. In fact, it's interesting. Since the book's come out, I'm having the best conversations with folks who are really close to retirement because they're still young, they're still active, they're still interested in doing things. They have all this terrific knowledge. They have a skill set, and they're trying to decide what they want to do to configure that skill set in a way that will continually generate income on their terms. They're almost giving themselves license,
mm-hmm,
to do that. In fact, I think it's resonating more with them than perhaps the new grads who are just basically really just trying to get a job, trying to get their foot in the door and start building their skill set.
As I said at the beginning of this conversation, there are a million of these work-life balance type books, and there are a lot of financial freedom and how you work for success and all that kind of stuff. You've tied all of this together in one, which I think is helpful because rather than reading three or four books, you only have to read one, which is always good. But I think there seem to be two kind of schools of thought about this idea that you've tied together as well. And that is, on the one hand, I'll have a work-life balance that I'm happy with, or on the other hand, I'll work really hard and be an achiever and be very successful, make a lot of money. And those are two silos that it looks like you would really like to see broken down and mesh together.
Oh, gosh, absolutely. In fact, the research on this is so interesting. Even doing the interviews for the book, what you see, what you're describing is this issue of time, right? If I spend too much time, quote-unquote, working, I won't have enough time, quote-unquote, for my family, right?
Right.
It's that sort of older mentality. Yet it's interesting. When I talk to people who are loving what they're doing, they're really very happy with their income streams, are happy with the types of things that they're doing for their career, they have a very hard time telling me how many hours per week they're working. Yet if I ask someone who dislikes what they're doing,
yeah,
they can tell me down to the minute.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask those who, even if they're heavily engaged in their career, but they're doing it on their terms and it's kind of interwoven with the life that they want to be living, they've got, and actually I don't like the word balance, but they've got work-life harmony.
Mm-hmm.
They've figured out because they're in control. And if one aspect of their career is becoming, you know, too burdensome, they pull back. And that's actually, to me, the secret to this work-life harmony. It's staying in control.
Mm-hmm. That control idea, we touched on it a little bit earlier, but I'd like to kind of flesh that out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And we'll go back to that person sitting at the table at home, agonizing over what to do, just not sure, and feels like he or she is not in control of their career path. What's the first step that you try to walk people up to get them to at least understand that it's possible to gain control over what they're doing and then get into that developing a plan stage?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The first thing really I have to do, you know, with career counseling, you absolutely have to meet someone at the door. So whatever they're bringing with them, that's the point that we need to start. So we discuss a lot of things like, you know, frankly, debt and expenses. We talk about their current work situation, whether, you know, the education, skill set, talents, passions, interests, how and if they're ready and if they'd like to configure those in a way that would bring in an additional income stream. For most people, you know, that's a kind of a murky conversation because there's a whole lot of self-awareness that needs to happen. Once we get through that, it's really then encouraging folks to see that an additional income stream, doing something they love doing, will be extremely positive. It's financially rewarding. Two, it builds the two things on which great careers are built. It builds skills and it builds network. And the data on this are really fascinating and very positive. And the third is it builds that intrinsic reward, that idea of greater security, but also greater fulfillment because you're doing more things that you love. Once I can kind of convince folks that this is the right way to go, and once we're there, this isn't difficult to do, then it's actually, you know, implementing it. So if someone has a desire to be in a certain place with their career, then we have to make a plan. You know, how do you get from where you are now to where you want to be? And can you do it while you're still doing your full-time job? How do you manage the two? Do you need to go back to school? Do you need to invest in yourself in some other way? Do you need to maybe volunteer doing something in order to break into a certain industry or whatever? So then it becomes an issue of a plan. And then, you know, frankly, while one is being built up, we kind of talk about an exit strategy out of the one that maybe they're not so happy with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really it's the idea of really making it a dynamic, continuous process.
I want to touch on another word that you mentioned a couple of times in our conversation, and that is network. Do you think people sell themselves too short on the power of the networks that they have, or maybe don't even give themselves enough credit as to the network that they've developed? Everybody knows people, and everybody knows people in the job that they do, mm-hmm. but I don't know how many people really think of those people that they know as their network.
And that's unfortunate. You know, when I wrote the career book, and I wrote Get a Life, Not a Job, the first thing that I got was kind of a wave of emails of friends sending notes saying, hey, I understand you just wrote a career book. Would you look at my resume? And I almost, at some point, I actually ended up writing a blog about it that listen, folks, it's not about the resume. Yes, the resume is important. I'm not undervaluing it. But the two ways that people will get a job and build their career is on their skills, and to what extent they match the job that you want, and the network. So how were you able to get introduced into an organization? And so to your point, that I do think folks undervalue the connections that they have and really the issue of kind of continually cultivating those in a way that they can sort of positively use those for their building their careers.
The book is by Dr. Paula Calajuri. It's called Get a Life, Not a Job. If there were only one point that somebody had to take away after they read this book, what would you like to be stuck right in the front of somebody's brain when they're done?
Mm-hmm. Please take control of your own career. It's the best way in for fulfillment and security and greater satisfaction.
Excellent. Great to have you on the program. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Francis.